We will start with, let's start with a public hearing on 3488. Cletus, you could read the summary.
Mr. Chair, HB 3488 directs the Department of Human Services to develop review process and make recommendations regarding medical health system of care and to develop a plan for second phase of review using Phase 1 Framework Master Plan. Requires completion of schematic design phase for new state hospital facility by date of convening of the 74th Legislative Assembly. Sunsets January 2, 2008. Authorizes Oregon Department of Administrative Services to issue financing agreements to finance payment of schematic design phase. Appropriates monies to Department of Human Services for plan, declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2005. The Oregon State Hospital, previously known as the Oregon State Insane Asylum, has occupied this site since 1883. Prior to this land, it was agricultural land. Attached to your summary is an executive summary that gives the purpose, the process, the findings, and the conclusions and recommendations of the panel that reviewed this process.
Thank you, Cletus. Colleagues, as you may or may not know, this bill has a subsequent referral to the Committee on Budget, and it's the intention of the Chair to move that bill to Budget, provided the testimony today is brief. Or as it becomes longer, the desire to move it becomes less. Representative Dalto.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My ears just sort of perked up.
Why? I mean, it wasn't directed at you. I just was saying.
Thank you for your testimony.
Yeah.
Now closing the public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, State Representative Billy Dalto. I represent Oregon's 21st House District here in Salem. And what you're considering today before you is a roadmap, really. It's a roadmap that's come out of the work of countless numbers of folks to try to figure out what the next steps for our Oregon State Hospital should be. You know, it's been this is my second session as a legislator in this building, and a session prior to that as a legislative aide to then State Representative Jackie Winters, and at least in the few years that I've been in this building, this Oregon State Hospital issue has loomed large over this assembly in what we're just going to do about the hospital. I think that most of all, the problems at the hospital are so complicated and so complex that people weren't even sure where to begin. And I sort of use the analogy, you know, you get to your desk at the end of a busy day and a legislative day, and you have a bunch of piles of work on your desk, and you're not really sure kind of where to start because you need to accomplish everything. And that's really the story of the hospital, sort of an issue of neglect over a long time. And really, we cannot wait any longer. We have completed a Phase 1 Framework Master Plan. That is complete. The report has been issued. My committee, the Health and Human Services Committee, accepted that in a joint committee hearing with the Senate Human Services Committees several weeks ago to hear from the consultants to let us know what the situation is with the state hospital. And the situation is, things are dire. An earthquake of a magnitude of the range of 6.0 or thereabouts will level certain parts of several parts of the institution and make things very difficult for people to safely exit the building. And so I think where we are, colleagues, is that we have to move forward with the state hospital plan. We're doing that, but this measure gives us a roadmap of what the next steps are. It really gives the public, more than anything, some reasonable expectations about what the next steps are going to be. It's saying, as an assembly, you know, here, by this date, you can expect this. By that date, you can expect that. And people will be able to see that we are, in fact, taking action. The most significant component of this measure is in Section 4, where we would authorize the Department of Administrative Services to issue financing agreements to pay for a schematic design phase. We're going to have a Phase 2 master plan that's already anticipated in the governor's budget, where the consultants will build upon the work that was done in Phase 1 and start to give us some sort of ideas of where the hospital will look like, whether or not it will remain in its location or another location in the city of Salem or even outside of the city of Salem. And so those next decisions will sort of come into play as the phase two portion of the framework master plan is completed. And that should be completed, we expect, by February of March or March of next year. It should go along pretty well. But we can't wait, colleagues, until the next assembly before DAS begins on the schematic design phase. Otherwise, it's going to be another 2 years before, we break ground on something new here, and the folks at the hospital, the patients, they can't wait that long. And one final thing I'd like to point out is within the context of this phase two master plan document, it's basically the language that I've included here says, look, don't just come back with a solution for the state hospital. Come back with a solution or recommendations for this assembly for the mental health system as a whole, and don't you dare come back with just the hospital. We need to know what investment is required, what infrastructure we need to provide, what resources we need to make available to really wrap our arms around the mental health system of care and turn things around, because this is long overdue in this state. So with that, I will end there and invite any questions.
Thank you, Representative Dalto, and thank you for bringing forward this issue that is of the utmost importance to our state. Appreciate your diligence on it.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dalto, I was just looking at the different options in this executive summary, and one of the options was to build a new campus in Portland and in Pendleton. Was option one to rebuild at the current site? Doesn't really say that, but is that what option one was?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holby, we are not really at the option stage with the next step for the state hospital. We're really at an assessment stage of what we have to work with. In the next step, that phase two master plan is going to say, it's going to start to answer some questions about how big do we want our state hospital to be? Do we want a 600 or 700 or 800 bed hospital, or could we do with a smaller hospital 400 to 500 beds and satellite facilities in communities like Pendleton and Portland and other places so that people are able to stay closer to their communities? That's a distinct possibility. I mean, there's some sort of radical options where we have just a very, very small intensive state hospital with, say, 100 beds for the folks with the most severe struggles, and then dozens and dozens of satellite facilities around the community. But those decisions are really going to come as a part of this next phase of the master plan. So I don't think anybody's promoting any specific options yet. It's hard to say. You have significant land use issues as well as you cross into this. If you decide to move the hospital, if the assembly decides, if the governor decides to move the hospital from the location where it's at now, you have siting issues that you have to get involved in. And there are some advantages to staying at least in some property that the state owns already, whether it's at that hospital property or corrections property or something like that.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further questions.
Thank you.
I know some people are signed up to testify, and I know there are several folks that are together. So, Gina, if you want to come forward and bring two others that are with you, that's fine with me. You guys can state your name for the record. That'd be great.
Representative Kitts, committee members, for the record, my name is Gina Furman. I'm the director of the Association of Community Mental Health Programs. And If you please, it would be nice to have Bob Nickel go first. He is the director of State Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bob Nickel, and I'm the administrator of the State Office of Mental Health and Addiction Services, which is within the Department of Human Services. I'm here today to primarily to provide information on this bill. I do want to say, though, at the outset, this is a bill that we very much appreciate. The intent of this bill is to move things along as expeditiously and efficiently and safely as possible, and as has already been described, we have some real issues at the State Hospital right now with a building that could create some serious problems if there was an earthquake, as Representative Dalto mentioned. So we're very pleased to see the intent of the bill. I have some written testimony, which I'll submit. Actually, I should have done that already. I'll do that now. The concerns that the department has are really minor, and so you'll see some things that we think might be helpful to consider. Chief among them would be the deadline of March 15th kind of boxes us in terms of the phase two of the master plan. So I think it's likely we'll be finished by March 15th, and KMD Architects has been very efficient in paying attention to deadlines. I think partly we were just concerned, not knowing for sure how long the session would last, if that we might box ourselves in a little bit, but I think we can work with that. The second thing is that we were a little concerned about whether, if we were to try to develop any community facilities, state-operated or county-owned or operated, during the coming biennium, that there might need to be some additional attention to the certificates of participation section of this bill. So there are just a couple of minor things there. I would not want to hold this bill up. I think it's very critical that we keep moving this thing along. So the intent in the testimony was simply to raise a couple of issues that at some point might require some legislative intent or just some minor modification, but we could certainly live with this bill either way.
Thank you, Bob. I would ask that any proposed changes to the bill go through Representative Dalto, as any changes can be made in the Budget Committee if they are deemed necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Kitts, committee members, again for the record, my name is Gina Furman. I'm the executive director of the Association of Community Mental Health Programs. We simply want to go on record to say that we're very much in support of this bill. We really appreciate the work that Representative Dalto has done, and we believe if a bill such as this does not pass, that we're going to be stuck for several more years. And the citizens of the state of Oregon and their family members and loved ones that are in this facility really, really need to have this move faster than it is. And I really appreciate all of you paying attention to this issue. So we're asking you to pass this to budget so we can get on with improving the system.
Yeah. Thank you for being here today.
Chair Kitts, members of the committee, my name is Doris Cameron Menard. I'm a member of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill and the mom of a son with mental illness. NAMI Oregon urges you and urges your support of House Bill 3488 to continue the process initiated by the report on the Oregon State Hospital. That report, as you know, clearly outlines the appalling conditions which currently exist at the hospital and the need for a system of care that's integrated and continuous. The report also underscores that limited investment over the years has resulted in the situation we find ourselves in today. Your legislative leadership in moving this bill can begin a new era in mental health treatment in this state. You have the opportunity and you have the responsibility. Thousands who have mental illness and the families who struggle alongside them urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Committee, are there any questions? Thank you. Pretty self-explanatory bill. At this time, we'll call forward Linda Dunn, Janet Erton. Thank you. And looks like Jesse Erton.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kitts and other members of the committee. My name is Linda Dunn, and I'm a member of Oregon NAMI Legislative Public Policy Committee and Washington County. Like others, I wish to speak in support of HB 3488 to continue planning for a new state hospital and an adequate mental health system. 7 years ago, I sat in a courtroom as lawyers and a judge debated about committing my daughter to a state hospital. I knew about this hospital in Salem, but I didn't know very much about it. I was more frightened that she might be sent farther away from me. I had heard that there was another state hospital on the eastern Oregon border. I could not imagine how I would ever get there to see my daughter with work and another child to attend to. My daughter was not committed that day, but today I speak on behalf of someone else's daughter that might be in the Oregon State Hospital. You have all the information that you need to continue the process that will bring that hospital down and put smaller, more appropriate care facilities in place in locations easily reached by most family members. But NAMI members have only to recall what they saw at Damish Hospital to be worried. NAMI members manned a family desk at Damish Hospital, and there came a day that they saw 60 suitcases packed and ready to go, and there was discussion of hotel vouchers as those people left the hospital for the last time. What happened to those people? You have the opportunity to do the right thing by the mentally ill in Oregon, but it does not consist of merely tearing down a building. The replacement of the Oregon State Hospital must occur alongside the construction of a mental health system that makes sense. It is not fiscally or morally responsible to randomly imprison the mentally ill or to allow them to wander until they come to harm. Use the information you have had before you now for some time. The people of the state of Oregon, thanks to the media, have the same information, and they expect you to act now. So please act in a responsible way, one that allows for a future for our most vulnerable population. Someone else's daughter is in harm's way today. You can make a difference. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Chair Kitts and members of the committee, my name is Janet Erton. I live in Dundee in Yamhill County, and I'm also a member of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. I'm here to support the passage of House Bill 3488. Many others have given you facts and information you need, and I agree with them, so I will keep my message brief. I'm here with my daughter, Jessie, who is a mental health consumer. My purpose, as it has been throughout her life, is to support her in her quest for a satisfying, productive life. As a member of NAMI and a volunteer on several mental health committees, I want to say that I know she and I are not alone in our desire for a mental health system that promotes recovery and resiliency, one that truly supports consumers as well as family, friends, and those who provide care for those with mental illness. I hope that you will listen to what we have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Chair Kitts and members of the committee, my name is Jessie Erton, and I live in Sheridan in Yamhill County. I would like the members of the committee to support House Bill 3488 and the plan for a new state hospital and mental health system. I know this is very urgent because I've been there as a patient. It is not a place that I would ever want to return to. They need to upgrade things, and it's very unsafe there. I have witnessed patients in unsafe situations, and they are very it's a very unsafe place to be. I don't want to go back to the hospital, and I don't plan to, but I will need help from the mental health system. It is my community to help me with my recovery so I can be a productive member of the society. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for being here.
Committee, are there any questions?
Seeing none, thank you.
Martin, Daniel, and Ann. Heath. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Chair Kitz, Vice Chair Holby, and Thatcher, members of the committee. My name is Martin Pitioni. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Psychologist Examiners, and I'm honored to be here today to also represent before you the other two mental health licensing boards in this state, the Board of Licensed Counselors and Therapists and the Board of Licensed Clinical Social Workers. I'm here really very briefly to join in the last part of Representative Dalto's testimony, which emphasized really the need for a very broad-based review and really addressing the overall mental health care delivery system issues as part of the next phase of what is called for in House Bill 3488. The boards have joined together to plead for this very broad-based review, and the idea here is to include the board's perspective with respect to the patchwork of mental health licensing and certification requirements that have been enacted into statute and rule over time, and the relationship between the resulting regulatory approaches and the system of mental health care delivery. This plea for topical and representational inclusion is really based on the recognition that the piece-by-piece development of the mental health licensure and certification law has rarely taken place without a full view of the context of any one of these laws and rules going into operation. And the idea is to address questions of, do we have a system in place right now where licensure and certification requirements fully make sense in all situations? When do we exempt people from licensure and certification requirements in mental health care delivery? And that's the piece where we need all the players at the table. None of the boards have resources on their own to conduct such a review. This is the place and the vehicle to do it in, and I really want to thank Representative Dalto to bringing that forward, because it would be an excellent vehicle to move in that direction. That concludes my testimony. I appreciate it. Any questions? I'm happy to answer any questions from the committee.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Let's see, Representative Kitz and committee. I'm Ann Heath, and I'm representing NAMI Salem, and we're very grateful for Representative Dalto's position on this bill, and just want to go on record as supporting it. My son has schizophrenia. He's done extremely well in treatment and is independent and working, but I'm familiar with many people who are not as lucky and have persistent symptoms and need ongoing care. And we think it's extremely important to look at the total system and recognize that treatment can work and that people need different levels of treatment. And so we urge you to move forward on this phase of planning.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Representative Kitz and members of the committee. I'm Dr. Daniel Smith, psychologist resident at the Oregon State Hospital. I'm here as a representative of SEIU Local 392, the largest union at the hospital. I'd like to thank Representative Dalto for all of his work and encourage this committee to continue support for this bill. It is absolutely vital that the hospital be brought into the current century and be prepared for the coming century, both for the safety of our consumers and for the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you for being here and testifying. Appreciate it. Any questions? You're off the hook. And finally, Angela Kimball.
Good Representative Kitts, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Angela Kimball, and I'm with the Association of Oregon Community Mental Health Programs, but I'd like to express that I'm here today as a family member. As some of you know, I have a son who has bipolar disorder. And being here is emotional for me because every day I've driven by that state hospital. And it's only a few years ago that my son was in the back of police cars being hauled off to psychiatric crisis centers. I didn't know if at this point in time I'd find my son behind those walls or behind the walls of our other mental institution, our state prison system. Today, he's graduated from high school, and he's heading to college, and he's doing wonderfully. But he suffers from a serious mental illness. And the journey that I've taken with him in understanding and responding to that illness is the same journey that faces you, our legislature, and in fact, our entire state of Oregon. Because I remember the days with pain when I was a young girl and crossed the street with friends to avoid somebody with mental illness who walked down our town. I was scared. Here was a person wearing a ski coat in the middle of summer, somebody who acted strange, and I was afraid. And we used to turn away, and we used to look the other way too when we drove past the state hospital. And even when I had my own child and discovered that he acted in a way that I could never understand, that I didn't know how to deal with, I was afraid, I was angry, I was humiliated. All those things that our society faces with mental illness. And it actually took me years before I learned not to be afraid, to actually embrace this illness and understand that behind an exterior that actually scared other people and frightened me, there was a heart that beat and a brilliant mind. And behind the walls of our state hospital are hundreds of other brilliant minds and beautiful hearts. We need to respect those hearts, those minds. We need to have a hospital that focuses on recovery. It is time to tear down those decrepit halls. I've walked those halls. No one here would ever put someone they love in those buildings. The time has come. We can't hide away in shame or in fear or in ignorance any longer. But what I would suggest to you, that rather than considering this a daunting position to be in, that this is instead a real opportunity. Because one of the things I learned in facing my son's illness is to face my own fears and to learn what potential there is in people and what opportunity there is to learn and grow from a difficult circumstance. And I'd suggest here that you have the opportunity to not only move forward and build a new hospital, but to look around your very state and recognize what incredible opportunities lie before us to actually turn this into something of great benefit to our entire state. We have Dr. Norwood Knight Richardson at Oregon Health and Sciences University. He is now chair of the Public Psychiatry Department. He was on the President's New Freedom Commission for Mental Health and a close friend of our president's. We have the Regional Research Institute at Portland State University, one of only two research centers on children's mental health in this country. We have wonderful people, incredible expertise around this state, and I believe that by moving forward, we'll not only create a better place for patients, for families, for people who work, but you also create the opportunity to create something bigger and something that we can actually use to tap into the incredible resources that our state has. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nobody else has signed up to testify on 3488, so I'm going to close the public hearing on 3488 and open a work session on House Bill 3488.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thatcher.
I move House Bill 3488 to the Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thatcher moves House Bill 3488 to the Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank the sponsor of this bill. This is something we really need. I'm sure it wouldn't surprise many of you that I had spent some time in various mental wards in Portland. However, I was in the capacity of an auditor auditing the programs. And
right.
I saw that the state hospital plays an important piece of the continuum of care, and it will not suffice to deal with only the state hospital. We really need to look at the whole system. We need to look at housing for persons with mental illness and such, and I really appreciate the direction of this bill.
Thank you, Representative, for your comments. Representative Dalto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a brief comment. I think it was really a refreshing experience to be at our hearing at the state hospital and to have so many of our colleagues participating in our public hearing. Again, this is an issue that has been so overwhelming, and people feel overwhelmed, didn't know where to start with the state hospital. But I think that hearing was special on a number of fronts. We went out to the hospital to exercise our point, to make the point that something needed to be done there and now. And we had an excellent turnout from legislators, and I'm excited that it seems to be the right time for this measure now. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for scheduling this bill and moving it forward.
You are welcome. Annetta.
Votes aye.
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 Chair votes aye. 3488 will be sent to the Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Thank you. Colleagues, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 162 for the purposes of moving that bill to.
Mr. Chair.
Representative March.
I move Senate Bill 162 to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative March. Representative March moves Senate Bill 162. I'm sorry. Representative March, if you could first rescind the referral, the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
I would be more than happy to do that, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move we rescind the subsequent referral to Senate Bill 162. Referral is to Ways and Means?
Correct.
I move we rescind that referral.
Thank you. Representative March moves that we rescind the referral on Senate Bill 162 to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Seeing none. Oh.
Well, we can discuss it when we get back to the next one next week.
Okay, great. The subsequent referral is rescinded. Representative March.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate Bill 162 be referred to the House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative March moves Senate Bill 162 to the Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little confused, which is, I guess, on Friday afternoon, not unusual, but I don't see any fiscal at all involved in Senate Bill 162. Have we gotten any indication that there's actually a fiscal?
Yeah, my understanding is there is not a fiscal. My understanding is the relating to clause will be used, which will probably have a fiscal.
I got it. Thank you.
Seeing no discussion, Netta.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused. Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 162 will be sent to the Committee on Budget. We'll now open a public hearing on everybody's favorite bill, Senate Bill 1008. Cletus, if you want to read a summary update, that'd be great.
Mr. Chair, SB 1008A, establish Oregon community power, establish a mechanism of organization and management of OCP, and for OCP to enter into negotiations and acquire assets of Portland General Electric Company, PGE, establish which public agency laws apply and do not apply to OCP, authorize the state treasurer at request of OCP to issue revenue bonds and directs OCP to expend bond proceeds to acquire assets of PGE. It creates a financing mechanism of OCP for purposes of acquisition of PGE, debt service, and operation of electric utility. Limits expenditures of bond proceeds and debt service monies. Declares an emergency. Accompanying this SMS is an executive summary of SB 1008 with amendments. At the beginning of that summary is a definition of absurd as defined in dictionary and used by litigants. Summary of amendments. The dash 10 deals with the Oregon Mutual Utility. The dash 11, preference power. This amendment has now been replaced by the dash 13 amendment and not to be considered for inclusion in discussion. Dash 12 deals with the Trojan Nuclear Plant obligation and liabilities. Dash 13 replaces the dash 11 amendments. Deletes lines 1 through 7 on page 3 of the 11-11 amendments. The deletion section applied to the acquisition of less than 30% of PGE et al. Dash 14 changes nominating committee. Section 5 of the bill was deleted. The nominating committee is more generic in makeup. The amendment does leave the League of Oregon Cities and Association of Oregon Counties. The new Section 5 streamlines the process, shortens the time frame. The governor shall consider in 5 days after act is effected. Slate of nominees to be done in 15 days. Initial nominating process shortened. All to be taking place in 30 days as opposed to 120 days. Section 11 spells out the board established policy and president, CEO, and general manager, any person that has may act within board policy. Page 8 of the bill, the extensive power of eminent domain is spelled out, expresses domain eminent. Dash 15 and 16 can go together from the League of Oregon Cities. Dash 16 elaborates a little more. Dash 15 is part of 16. 17, 18, and 20 addresses issues from Washington County. The three amendments deal with the issue of Portland bidding on the purchase of PGE and assigning the right to Oregon community power. Subtle differences in the three amendments. Dash 20, the same for all except transfers purchase PGE from successful entity to transferability to PGE. Review the section dealing with entities of transfer. 17, the right of assignment of the power to Oregon community power. It's mandatory language. 18 is similar, except for as an option versus mandatory. 820 creates more content with the right to acquire the assets prior to issue of the bonds, shall assign rights, and has mandatory language. 19 is dealing with the Cubs amendment, deals with preference power, tends to say that the formation of OCP will not injure customers' own utility or industrial utility in Oregon. Subsection B, PG customers will not be injured by OCP or point and injure any parties. Keep everyone at their point. It also has the preference power that they stay the same as they currently are and have the option to be an IOU, investment-owned utility, after January 1, 2011. The Treasurer's Office also is looking at issue of bonds of OCP as opposed to... in support of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cletus. Clear as mud. Colleagues, we will be considering the Dash 12 amendments today. We will be considering the Dash 16 amendments today. We will be considering the Dash 14s today and the Dash 18s. That is it.
I heard Cletus say something about the definition of absurd.
Yes, sir.
Is that in this bill, or is that another bill?
No, that's in the administrative...
Yeah.
I got you. I'm with you now.
No, I was wondering what it was in relation to.
I crisscrossed.
Oh, okay.
And then I've been dealing with two bills that parallel amendments, so I apologize.
I thought maybe the other had been stuck into
you
this one.
Yeah. No, I didn't read it, no.
That would be absurd.
Sorry about that, Reverend Greenlee. Okay, I'm so full of absurd right now.
Gary, are you wishing to testify?
No, you're the senator.
Walk us through.
I will correct myself.
And as clarification, I don't think the League of Oregon Cities are responsible for Dash 15s and 16s. Those are the chair's amendments, and I would imagine that they would probably oppose them. But so just for clarification, I saw an aneurysm about ready to pop in the back of the room. So, Mr. Chair, for the record,
my name is Gary Conkling. I'm representing Washington County and working with the Coalition of Supporters for Senate Bill 1008. And thank you for that clarification. I think actually I was responsible yesterday because I hadn't recognized where these amendments came from. And so thank you for clarifying. The League of Cities is not the author of them, and I'm sure can comment on them in a moment.
I figured as much.
Mr. Chair, the Dash 12 amendments deal with Trojan, and I believe Ms. Henry from eWeb is the best person to walk through those. But what the intention of the supporters of Senate Bill 1008 have always intended is to make sure that any successor to PGE would sustain its commitments for the liabilities surrounding Trojan, and in as much as eWeb is a party of interest in that, it's important to eWeb that that language be accurate and clear, and so we would support eWeb's amendment. The Dash A14 amendment, if I may, Mr. Chair, I'll focus on, addresses the issues that you and others in the committee addressed at our initial hearing on this bill. And if I take a little bit of time just to walk you through, I think you already have gotten an overview of them. The very first, if you look on the Dash A14 amendment, the very first change deals with sort of an inadvertent language mix-up in the definitions of service territory. This, I think, provides a more generic definition that talks about it being a geographic area within which an electric utility provides electricity to customers. As if you look at the original bill, you'll notice that it defines it as the people that are within the Oregon Community Power area, which isn't, of course, what's intended by the definition. The main part of the amendment deals with a change in the nominating committee. There were concerns in the bill's Section 5, which identified a representative for industrial and commercial customers. What this amendment does is it strikes the language in the bill's Section 5 that mentions AOI and ICNU, and it refers to the nominating committee that was intended to be the permanent nominating committee in Section 4. And in that, you'll see that the Citizens Utility Board is included because CUB is included in statute. It has a statutory responsibility to represent residential ratepayers. The League of Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties are maintained because, as you know, they're mentioned in the Constitution and have standing as well. The other two are mentioned generically as a representative from commercial customer class and the industrial customer class. There is one additional provision that's put in that refers to the city and county representatives, and that is that one would be one of these, are again referring to the nominating committee, one person would be from an area within the existing service territory, and one would be outside the service territory in areas in other parts of the state where PGE or Oregon Community Power has facilities, whether they're power plants or transmission lines. There is a new Section 5 language, now back to the amendment, starting on line 18, that basically provides for the initial nominating committee timelines that are shortened. You'll see that the governor is required to move within 5 days after the effective date to convene the nominating committee. And then you can see a set of timelines to move forward a slate of candidates, all of which is to take place within a 30-day period of time. So that deals with the nominating committee, and I think Mr. Chair responded to the concerns you in particular had. My second concern is in Section 11, where questions were raised, and in retrospect, I think quite properly, about what the powers of the board are and what powers are being delegated. What was intended by this section was to provide a business-like structure for Oregon Community Power. And in concert with that concept, on the A14 amendment, new Section 11 language starting on page 2 of the amendment from line 11 through 21, I think spells out a little more clearly that the board is a policy-setting entity, and that it may delegate powers to a president, a chief executive officer, or general manager. It gives latitude to the board to pick which nomenclature it might have for its principal executive, and that that principal executive would be operating within board set policies. Now, I think all of this was implied in the original language, but I think actually this strengthens and makes much more clear what the role of the board and any general manager or president of Oregon Community Power.
Colleagues, just for a quick clarification, the prior language said any person, and that's all they tightened up on that Section 11.
So I think that's a definite improvement, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. One of the other concerns, turning to page 8, was in the bill, section 15, that starts on line 11 through line 14. This deals with the power of eminent domain. As you recall my testimony, I noted that the intention is to give Oregon Community Power the ability of eminent domain in the conduct of its normal business activity. This is similar to what many utilities have, but the language, by referring to various sections of the bill, left open some questions about whether or not we swept in more than we intended. So as you can see on the amendment on page 2, starting on line 23 through lines 24, makes it very clear that we're now talking about necessary for carrying out the electric utility operations of Oregon Community Power. I think it's a much cleaner reference and is what was intended. There is one more kind of cleanup item there about a separate billing that relates to the billing practice that I think was just a catch by Legislative Council of a language problem. So I believe the A14 amendments, Mr. Chair, dealt with the three principal concerns that were raised. If I may now turn to the -18 amendments. The -18 amendments were developed to respond to a situation that might arise that would be different than having Oregon Community Power be the bidder and buyer. It would anticipate a possible situation in which Oregon Community Power might be the buyer but not the bidder for PGE. And that recognizes that the City of Portland or an entity that the City of Portland might create would appear at this point to be in the position of offering a bid for the purchase of PGE. So what this amendment does in Section 20A, Subsection 1, that starts on line 2 and goes through line 8, is essentially create the authority for Oregon Community Power to accept an assignment of responsibility if, in fact, Portland was to bid successfully and deem it appropriate to transfer the right to purchase to Oregon Community Power. So this gives Oregon Community Power the ability to accept such an assignment of a right to purchase. Subsection 2 indicates that the transfer that would be most optimal, and I'll spend a moment talking about this, would be prior to the issuance of any bonds by the City of Portland or an entity that it might create. That it clearly sets a timing preference, but it does not require the City of Portland to assign. It says it may assign the right to acquire PGE to Oregon Community Power. So what we're trying to create here is a discretionary environment of where Oregon Community Power may become a tool that can be part of a bid-buy situation where the bidder is different than the buyer. But clearly, to effect such a purchase and issuance of bonds by a single entity, as opposed to having the City of Portland issue bonds and then subsequently a transfer of ownership, which would require a second issuance of bonds either by the state or by the utility, Oregon Community Power, which would expose ratepayers to additional costs that would seem to be unnecessary when, in fact, if you had a bid-buy scenario in collaboration such as this, you could issue the bonds once and save that additional expense. The final part of the Dash A18 amendments indicates that if in fact Portland was to assign the right to purchase the Oregon Community Power and it was to accept that right, that Portland would be reimbursed for its costs for due diligence and pursuing those costs. This is a normal standard procedure. It would probably be able to recoup those costs in the issuance of bonds if it was the bond issuer. All we're trying to do here is to make sure that the city of Portland, as the bidder, would not be put in a disadvantage in terms of the cost outlay to pursue the bid itself.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any questions on those three amendments that Mr. Conkling outlined?
Two amendments he outlined.
Didn't he do 12, 14, 18?
I believe he outlined 12.
No, I suggested that while we would support them, I think Ms. Henry would be better to explain
that's
them.
That's correct.
And I'm not capable of explaining the 15 or 16s either because I don't know where they came from. And
those
obviously,
are
they didn't come from where I thought.
Real good amendments.
Uncomprehensible, but good.
Just vote yes. Seeing no questions, thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Libby, you want to come forward and talk about Trojan? Libby, how long do you think your testimony will take, if you had to guess? Well, I'd like it to take a while, because I need to go testify in Senate rules, but if I don't have time to leave, then...
I can do this fast, as long as you want.
I'd like you to drag it out as long as possible.
You don't need a quorum for listening to that.
No, but I want to make sure I understand it. That's why I'm hesitant to leave.
Senate rules doesn't really need you.
They're doing a little bill over there in Senate rules about campaign finance or something. Just interested in that outcome a little bit.
I'm Libby Henry, representing the Eugene Water and Electric Board, and I think I grabbed my talking points, and I just got called up here, and I don't think I did. All right, I will just take it right from the testimony, shall we?
Go.
This is the Dash 12 amendments to the bill. The purpose of these amendments and the purpose of the bill, amendments, by the way, are clarifying, is to assure that whomever assumes ownership of PGE, be it a party or multiple parties, will also assume PGE's proportional share of the liabilities and the assets that come with the Trojan nuclear plant, which is now a nuclear waste storage site. Okay. PGE owns 67.5%, EWEB owns 30%, PacifiCorp owns 2.5%. Along with the assumption of the liabilities, the new owner or owners would receive their proportionate share of the decommissioning fund, which is running right about $100 million at the time. The bill also allows the new owner or owners to raise the rates for the fund in the event no federal storage site becomes available. And that's one of our main concerns with this bill. There was supposed to be a federal storage site available by 2018. There's been talk of Yucca Mountain. We have no high degree of certainty, or are we counting on that happening? In which case, Trojan would be the permanent waste storage site, and also we expect then the Nuclear Regulatory Commission will come up with some new standards, and the cost of maintaining that site might increase. Currently, PGE is a managing partner. They do all the on-site work. They do the monitoring of the storage, and they do a very good job. So in short, this is what we'd like to do, is make sure that whomever buys this takes on their share of the responsibility of the site. The amendments clarify one particular problem. We didn't mean to, in the transfer of some part of PGE, get to transfers that happen in the normal course of business. If you have a publicly owned utility with an allocated territory contiguous to PGE and there's an annexation of a few hundred customers, there's no intent to have some small percentage of Trojan obligation go with that. And so at the very end of our amendments, we speak to a percent of total customer retail load of being 0.1% or 1% of the total allocated territory. We came to that number talking to PGE of what would be the outside larger size of a transaction we didn't want to affect by this language, and that was what they gave us. This language has been shared with everybody I know. I don't have any problem with it. Happy to answer questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
Didn't we already pass a bill?
Yes, you did. You passed 3479, and it is sitting over in Senate Rules. It's going to be heard this Tuesday.
And if it passes, is this a necessary amendment to this?
Only if this bill were to pass after that one, yes, because the language will be exactly the same then in both bills. And since I don't know what's going to happen to this bill, and it's really important to us to have this language somewhere in the law, we put it in a standalone measure that's now over in the Senate.
But my question is, if it passes out of the Senate, mm-hmm. would it be necessary to have it in?
No, you could take the language out altogether if you wanted to then. Yeah, either way. Either take it out or make it comport with
whatever.
The other, right.
Thank you, Libby. I don't have any further questions. Pretty self-explanatory. There it is. Do you have any questions on this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Great, thank you. Colleagues, it's my intention at this time to move in the dash 12, 14, and 18. Into the bill, but not move the bill, because we have some other amendments that we're waiting for. And since I don't want to ruin the League of Oregon Cities weekend, I won't move the dash 16s at this time. So I will close the public hearing and open work session on 1008.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thatcher.
I move dash 12 and dash 14 and dash 18 into Senate Bill 1008.
I think we're going to have to do
one at a time.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to be efficient.
I understand.
A lot of problems.
Representative Thatcher moves the dash 12 amendments into Senate Bill 1008. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so done. Representative Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, I move dash 14 amendments into Senate Bill 1008.
Representative Thatcher moves the dash 14 amendments into Senate Bill 1008. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none. Representative Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, I move dash 18.
16? What? 18. Oh, 18. Sorry.
Into Senate Bill 1008.
Representative Thatcher moves the dash 18 amendments into Senate Bill 1008. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none. Done. We will now close the public, or the, excuse me, work session on Senate Bill 2008. Anything further? Adjourn.